Thank you, Dave. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. This is our ninth week in this study of 1 Corinthians, and now it brings us to the fourth chapter. We'll be dealing with the entire chapter, but just want to read a couple of verses to get us started. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask now that you would take your word, that you would penetrate our hearts, that you would teach us, Father, how to be faithful. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Move within each one of us, Father. Make a difference in our lives in this hour, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever heard of someone talking about others as being faithful? We think of faithfulness. Perhaps you have faithfulness come to mind when you think of people who have stood by one another in marriage year after year, day after day. How many in our church today have passed 50 years of marriage to the same person, and you're both alive? You know, how about that? That's really amazing. That is faithfulness. A husband standing by the wife tolerating the husband for 50 years, and then beyond. And we have those that have gone beyond. There is faithfulness. It's often applied to a student that applies themselves in school year after year. An athlete who applies themselves in practice again and again. A musician that is faithful to play and faithful to rehearse and faithful to get everything down exactly right. A worker that is faithful to the job. You know, we're in a day when we are told that the problem with getting workers is nobody wants to work. It seems that we have generations that have decided that they want to lay out. But they didn't know that somebody has to actually do the work in order to have the money, in order to have the food. And so they missed out on that concept. But thank God for faithful laborers day in and day out who show up and do their job. One of the things that comes to my mind when I hear the term faithfulness is the United States Marine Corps. Yes, I know. I don't want to get out of trouble here quick. The Army, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard are faithful. Thank God for all of them. But you don't have the slogan. The Marine Corps has the slogan, the motto, Semper Fidelis, always faithful. It's interesting. I went to try to find why did they choose that as their motto. And if you read through the literature as to why they chose it as their motto, across the board it says, we don't know. It was chosen by Charles Grimes McCauley, the 8th Commandant of the United States Marine Corps. But they weren't the first to get it. Before the Marines adopted the motto, it was set as the motto for the 11th Infantry Regiment. The 11th Infantry Regiment of the United States Army has Semper Fidelis as their motto, and they got to it first. By the way, you know where they're garrisoned. It's a place called Fort Benning, Georgia. The Marines adopted the motto in 1880, the 11th Infantry in the 1860s. Faithfulness. To be faithful in season and out of season. To be somebody that can be depended upon to do the job you're given to do. To have no one worry that you will carry out your responsibilities. Faithfulness. To be able to be trusted. Faithfulness. There was a picture of faithfulness in Scotland. In 1850, John Gray joined the Edinburgh Police Force. He was a night watchman for the Edinburgh Police. Now, being a night watchman for the Edinburgh police meant that he would walk the streets all through the night. He would bear all the temperatures that were there to bear. And by the way, it gets cold in Scotland, especially in the wee hours of the night. And so he did not want to do it alone. He got him a partner, a Skye Terrier named Bobby. Together, John and Bobby became a familiar sight, guarding the good citizens of Edinburgh. They would walk the streets. They knew the people. They knew each door by door. They would take their breaks together. They were never seen apart. John and Bobby became a sign to those in Edinburgh that all was well. The two were inseparable. And then, unfortunately, John became sick. He developed tuberculosis. And on February 15th, 1858, John died. His body was buried in Greyfriars Kirkyard, and many showed up. They were thankful for the man that had guarded them so well. After the services, all left except one. When they cleared out, Bobby stayed. Bobby, in fact, stayed through the night. He stayed through the next day. The minder of the cemetery tried to run Bobby off. He could not. Finally, after trying and trying and trying, he gave up. And he built a little cover for Bobby right by John's grave. Day in and day out, Bobby was there. He became quite famous. The good citizens of Edinburgh made sure that Bobby had food, that he was taken care of. And people from all over the world would come to that graveside to see that small sentinel standing by his master. Faithfully, year in and year out, in fact, for 14 more years until Bobby himself died. Today, if you go to Scotland, outside the kirkyard, you'll see a statue to Bobby. And Becky and I had the privilege to do what many others have done, and that is to pet Bobby's head. He is now over a fountain and stands there and is a tribute to faithfulness. On that site where Bobby stands, there is the statement, in tribute to the fidelity of Greyfriars Bobby. A tribute to faithfulness. Paul is writing the Corinthians and he's challenging them to adopt faithfulness. He tells them and he tells us, be faithful. You know why seats are empty on Sunday mornings? A lack of faithfulness. You know why we're not overflowing every church in this city? A lack of faithfulness. It's not because we don't have church members. We have church members galore. There are so many church members, you could not cram us all into all the church properties in this city. Where are they? Somewhere else. Where are they? Somewhere that they deem is more important than being in God's house. That is a faithfulness problem. Why is it that we can't control the polls of our nation and stand for the things that the Bible teaches? A lack of faithfulness. You see, God's people voting by God's word can accomplish God's will, and this can truly become one nation under God. With faithfulness. Be faithful. In verse 2, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. You need to be faithful to your spouse. You need to be faithful to your family. You need to be faithful to your job. You need to be faithful to your studies. You need to be faithful, faithful, faithful to God. If He is Almighty God, then He needs to be directing your life every single moment of every single day. Or else, is He really God to you at all? Faithfulness. Here Paul, the greatest missionary of the world, calls himself a minister for Christ. The word he uses for minister is actually the word that means under rower. Now, in that day, to be an under rower was to mean that you pulled an oar in time with others that pulled oars. You did not set the pace. You did not give the order. You did not determine where you were going. All your job was to pull the oar and to pull it faithfully in time with those that set the pace. Day by day, night by night, rowing in cadence over and over and over again. Why? Because that is your job and you should be faithful to that job. God calls us to be under rowers, ministers, not masters, servants, not lords. The faithful preacher is to be an under rower of Jesus Christ. Listen, we live in the day of celebrity preachers. What we need are some good under rowers. We need people that will just listen to Jesus and do as he said. We need people that will tell what Jesus has said and challenge people to do what Jesus wants us to do. And so a preacher is an under rower for Jesus. And you, my friend, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you too are to be an under rower. You are to be someone who is faithful to pull your oar. Don't let anybody else have to move the boat for you. Do your job. You know the reason why so many churches are finding themselves floundering? It's not because there are not some that are faithful there. Many of them have some faithful people. The problem is the faithful people that are supposed to be there are not, and those few that are there doing all the work are having to take on so much work that it is beyond them. And so churches are withering and dying in that lack of faithfulness. Could it happen here? Listen, it could happen anywhere, but I pray that it will not. I pray that instead of faithfulness wiltering, that faithfulness will grow. Then Paul shifts a little bit and he begins to speak of stewardship. A stewardship is one who manages the household of another. Now, if someone trusts you to be a steward of their house, they're trusting you with their most important, most valuable property. If they're trusting you with their most valuable property, it behooves you to be trustworthy. It behooves you to carry out the will of the master day in and day out. Primarily, they're trusting you to be faithful. When we become a Christian, we turn our sins over to Jesus. We turn from our sins, we turn to Jesus, we trust him to forgive our sins and to give us eternal life. At the same time, our Lord Jesus gives us the power to become a child of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name. And God gives you then a responsibility. You don't get saved to coast until you go to heaven. You get saved to row. You get saved to serve. God has a job for each of us, not just for one of us. And we need to get to the job and we need to be faithful to the task that he's laid before us. I've had people have bad things come up in their lives and they get all stressed out and they throw up their hands and they just say, I don't know what God expects of me. Maybe you've been there. Can I tell you what God expects of you? God expects every single believer to be faithful. God expects no more of you than he expects of me. He expects no more of us than he expects of Billy Graham or expected of Billy Graham. He expects us to be faithful. God is bringing people across your path every day. You are the one that is to be faithful to get the gospel to them. You are the one that is to be the positive witness to challenge their lives. God brings people across your path that are church people. You're the one to be a challenge to them that they might stay faithful and encourage them. We should be building one another up in faithfulness. God requires servants to be faithful. With faithfulness comes the fruit of the Spirit. As you walk with God, He develops His characteristics in your heart, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. When we move away from faithfulness, we move away from God's purpose, and when you move away from God's purpose, you move away from God's power, and when you move away from God's power, you move away from the right to pray. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. How important is it that we get off our pew and be faithful? That we be willing to serve, we be willing to go the extra mile if called upon by our Lord. Our example in strength and faithfulness is none other than God Himself. Lamentations 3:22 says, "It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because of His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast said, it will always be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Listen, He is so faithful to us. Did you get that? His mercy is new every day. Oh, I need His mercy. I need for Him not to treat me as I deserve to be treated, but to treat me in His grace, to show me His mercy, to empower me with His grace. God is faithful in love and mercy. You know why you can know that He is faithful in love and mercy? You're still here. You see, in truth, if you are truthful and I am truthful, we're going to admit we have not all been as faithful as we should have been all the time. And when we step out of faithfulness is an opportunity for God to lower the boom on us. The fact that He has allowed us to still stand, allowed us to still breathe, allows us still an opportunity to serve Him, it's because He is faithful. Thank God for His faithfulness. Many people have trouble trusting God. You know why they have trouble trusting God? They think God is like us. You know, somebody does us wrong, we're going to treat them differently. We do God wrong, God treats us the same. God does not change in His actions or love toward us. He is faithful in season and out of season. Numbers 23:19. God is not man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Has He said and shall He not do it? Or has He spoken and shall He not make it good? It is God's desire to raise us to His standards. You know, there is a thought in some government circles that we lower the standards. We find what people are doing and we just lower the standards to where they are. God doesn't do that. God is seeking to raise the standards. God is not going to lower himself. He is trying to raise us up so that we can enjoy his blessings. He is trying to move us to his will. Listen, you don't need a God that does everything your way. If God did everything your way, he wouldn't be God, you would be God. We need a God that does everything his way and leads us in doing so. And that's exactly the type of God there is. It is God's desire to raise us up. Think of the horror of God acting like people. What if tomorrow morning came and there was no sun because God decided he wanted to sleep in? That's not going to happen because God is faithful. You can know that God listens and answers prayer according to his own faithfulness because God is faithful. Believer, you can be assured if you confess your sins to God, he will forgive you your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and he will set you new in his work. How do you know that? Because God is faithful to his word. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even if we become unfaithful, can we be assured then that we're still going to go to heaven? If I have come to Jesus, but then I slip into unfaithfulness, I know that I don't deserve anything. I never really have. How can I deserve to go to glory? How can I deserve to go to that place without sin, sickness, or death? How can I know that I have a hope of glory? Because God is faithful. God made an agreement with me, and he doesn't go back on it because of what I do. God doesn't become like me. He stays himself. He stays faithful in season and out of season. Listen, 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, listen, talking about a Christian. If we believe not, if we get to that point where we drop out of faithfulness, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Wow. Praise the Lord. God will keep his word to us. He doesn't determine his faithfulness on our actions or on our failures. He is faithful because he is God and God is faithful. He's not like me. Oh, but I want to be like him. Faithful. So Paul determines that he's going to seek to be faithful to God, and he wants the Corinthians to be faithful to God, and he wants us to be faithful to God. The Corinthians were in a beauty contest of preachers. They were choosing which preacher they liked best, which one they thought was gave them the most power, and Paul was not going to have any part of it. He was not going to get mired down in a problem in his own heart because of what others thought of him. He was just going to keep seeking to serve the Lord. He wasn't going to determine his ministry by what others thought. I recently got an invitation to a preaching conference, and I was taken back when I read the title of the conference. The title was to teach what your people want to hear. This was a nationwide conference. People were flocking to it. Listen, preachers who give people what they want to hear may be popular with their people, but they're not going to be popular with God. God's got to be the one that determines what you hear from God's house, from God's pulpit. And that's got to be from his word. We must be faithful to him, even if it's not popular. Paul says, I'm not going to change because people judge me. I'm going to be judged by God. You know, I don't have to worry about you judging me. I've got to be concerned about God judging me. He's the one that I have to live for. He's the one that I have to answer to. By the way, if you have committed your heart to Jesus Christ, if you have been saved, you've become part of a church, Faithfulness means you show up. Be faithful. And then Paul says a strange thing. He says, be foolish. In verse 10, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Now, if anyone was important to the early church, it was the apostles. And Paul is saying, as an apostle, I have humbled myself. You see, apostles got very close to God, and the closer they got to God, the more humble they had to present themselves. When you spend time with God, it does not puff you up. When you spend time with God, you're more apt to humble yourself. When Paul says we are fools for Christ's sake, he is setting the attitude of serving Jesus. It doesn't matter what others think. There are always people out there that are going to call us foolish. But praise God, I don't have to live my life by the people on the view. I can live my life by Almighty God. When Paul says we are fools for Christ's sake, he is saying we have a life to live serving our Master, serving our Lord, and that's the life we should concern ourselves with. The Corinthians saw themselves as strong and wise, and they thought men should honor them because they were part of the Corinthian church. Paul was willing to be a spectacle to a lost world. He was willing for people to think him crazy if that's what it took. But he was going to stay faithful to Jesus in season and out, even if it meant he would be despised. My friend, we need people who will stand by Jesus. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We need to have our path directed by him. It is okay for people to think me foolish as long as God thinks me faithful. And so what do I need to do? I need to be following. In verse 15 and 16, but though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be followers of me. Paul is seeking to get the Corinthian church, which had fallen because of their own selfish pride, which had become weak because they would not bow down their will to the Lord God. He was trying to get them to put their selfishness aside and just let God be first. They would puff themselves up. Listen, we have too many puffed up believers. We need a few that are willing to bow down. We need people that are willing to serve. We need people that are willing to do what it takes that Jesus will be exalted. If those leaders would take a look at Paul's life and how he had every right to be puffed up but was not, they could follow him and follow him straight to Jesus. If people are following you, will they get to Jesus? If people are following you, will they get to church? You know, we should leave a path that if people follow us, they're not going to find their lives degraded. They are going to find their lives uplifted because we are going to walk with Jesus. Oh, that could be said of each one of us. Paul was going to send Timothy to them to remind them of the truths of God's word. Every now and then you need to be reminded of the truths of God's word. That's why we meet. And so he was going to send his friend Timothy to them, and indeed he did. He was giving the Corinthians a choice. He could come to them in the power of an apostle with the power of God and the rod of God and discipline. Or he could come to them in love and meekness. It really just depended on them. Listen, our God wants to bless you. Our God wants to use you. You have a purpose for Him. If you are saved, you have a purpose called by God. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He has it designed in His plan. You just need to walk according to His plan, walk according to His will, be faithful to what His Word says. If your life doesn't match up with His Word, it's not the Word that needs to change. You change your life, you adapt to His will, and He will guide you all the way in His glory. You will know His power, you will know His forgiveness, you will know His peace. It all comes by just knowing that you are walking where God wants you to walk. You're stepping where God wants you to step. We used to use the term revival. Some of you have been to revivals. Now, I've been to a lot of meetings. I've been to few revivals. But a revival was the idea that believers would come and they would get renewed in their faith, renewed in the challenge of God, renewed to follow God, and from that day they were ready to charge hell with a water pistol. We need to get to that point in our lives. We need to make that decision, and we can make it right now. God can make the change in your heart that makes a change in your life. He can do it now. We need to be revived. We need to be renewed. We need to be newly determined. We need to walk according to God's will, accomplish His purposes, and see God do a wondrous work right here in Columbus, Georgia. And where's it going to start? Listen, we can't wait to see what all the other churches are going to do. We can't wait to see if other believers will get on God's bandwagon. We are called here to do what God has called us to do, and that is touch lives for Jesus day in and day out. That means we've got to straighten up and fly right. It means we've got to get on our knees before God and ask Him to forgive us, to cleanse us, then to use us. And then we've got to be willing to get up and be used. God is going to be faithful. And you know, this is dangerous to say, but it is true. God is going to be faithful whether you are faithful or not. He's still going to be faithful. God is not going to turn around and go back on His word just because you have. He's still going to be faithful. Well, if God's going to be faithful to me, why should I live for Him? Because God is faithful to you. I don't want to let Him down any more than I already have. I want to walk for Him. I want to talk for Him. I want to be a blessing for Him. And I challenge you to follow me. Let's make a difference by being faithful. And if we are faithful this week, there will be more of us to be faithful next week. And we will only grow from here. Now, if you are here and you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart and life, it's hard for you to be faithful until you find faith. And so we would like to give you an opportunity. If you would like for Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive your sins, to save your soul, if you would like to know God's faithfulness up close and personal, then all you have to do is just come forward and say, I want Jesus. We will pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. You will be forgiven and you will be heaven bound. And it can all happen if you say yes to Jesus. God calls you to decision. Believers, we need some time on our knees. We need some time at the altar. We need some time bowing before God and committing ourselves to be faithful. But if you don't know Him, come to know Him. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we pray now that You would move within our hearts. Father, help us to make decisions that we need to make. Father, some are here that need a church home, and You've led them here, Father. Let them know this is the place and guide them to become part of this family. Father, for those that are here that do not know Jesus, oh God, that you would put on their hearts their desire, their need to come to Jesus, that they might walk and just say, I want Jesus. Father, most of the people in this room already know you. God, call us to faithfulness. Call us to a willingness to bow before you. Do a work of revival in our church by doing a work of revival in our hearts. And how we praise you for what you will do. And how thankful we are that you are faithful. Move within us now, in Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, you come.